శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీత చాప్టర్ 10 విభూతి యోగ శ్లోక 24. పురోదశాంచ ముఖ్యం మాం విద్ధి పార్థ బృహస్పతిం సేనానీనామహం స్కందః సరసామస్మి సాగరః. పురోదశాం, పురోదస్, పురోదస్ మీన్స్ ఎ ప్రీస్ట్ హూ అఫిషియేట్స్ రిచువల్స్. ఎ పురోహిత, పురోదాహ పురోహిత. సో ద ప్రీస్ట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ సో బికాస్ ఇఫ్ అ యజమాన, ఇఫ్ ద పర్సన్ హూ వాంట్స్ టు డూ దిస్ యజ్ఞ హ్యాస్ టు డూ ఎనీ రిచువల్ ఆర్ యాగ, హీ కెన్ డూ దాట్ ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ కీపింగ్ ఎ ప్లేసింగ్ ఎ ప్రీస్ట్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్. సో త్రూ ద ప్రీస్ట్ అలోన్ హీ కెన్ డూ ఎనీ రిచువల్. హీ ఈస్ ఆల్మోస్ట్ లైక్ ఎ గురు. దిస్ ప్రీస్ట్ ఇస్ like almost a guru. And so the first job of a yajamana is putting an asana, a place, a seat for the priest, and getting his permission, placing the priest in front, he can start any ritual he wants to start. So om ityagni hotram anujanati, that's what the Upanishad says. Priest has to permit to start anujanati, then alone he can say, I will start doing this yajna. Shuklambardhana Vishnu, whatever he has to say, he can say only after the priest permits him to do that. Sometimes the yajamana may be learned enough and he might know all the mantras, but he cannot still start. He puts an asana and do the avahanam of a priest, and then only he can do so. Even if he is not having a priest physically, he'll put an asanam and then invoke a priest there. In short, priest is one who is placed in front, and so his name came to be Purohitaha. Puro means in front. Purohitaha, one who is placed before rituals, that we have to understand. Or Purodaha. Purodaha means placed in front. Daha, placed in front. So according to Shastras, it is the job of a Brahmana. Yajama. So Yajna. So Yajnanam. So the yajanam, so the brahmana, the person who officiates to be the priest, his job is yajanam, yajanam, and then patanam, patanam. He has to study himself and he has to also teach patanam and patanam. So he has to do the rituals and help others also to do rituals. So yajanam, himself doing it, and yajanam, help others to do it. So he has to study and teach. Swadhyayam and Pravachanam, both the Brahmana is supposed to do. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they also can do rituals, only officiated by a Brahmana. That is important. Among these priests, Purodasam Madhye, among the priests who are like that, Mam Viddhi Partha. Arjuna, you understand me. Mam Viddhi, understand me to be Brihaspatim. I am Brihaspati himself, who is the priest of Lord Indra. Brihaspati is the priest of Lord Indra. Lord Indra is the king of all gods, and the Brihaspati is his priest, and that means the leader of all priests, the Devas. And not only that, Indra himself has got many priests. So many priests, even among celestial priests, among divine priests, he is Mukhyaha. So he is very important. So may you know me to be the most important priest among heavenly priests, among the celestial priests. And generally, people normally think what? That the job of a priest is a very lowly job. That's what these days people start to think. These are all modern days misconceptions. But this is the most honorary job because it is a spiritual job in which the invocation of devatas, etc. are involved. Who can invoke devatas that easily? Only the mantras can do. And who can handle the mantras? The priests are the ones who are qualified to handle the mantras. So a priest means a noble person. And among them, Brihaspati is very well known for his knowledge. In fact, he is called Vachaspati also. Brihaspati is called Vachaspati, and among them, Brihaspati is very well known. And the Lord's Vachaspati means what? The Lord of all words. Whatever words, he is the Pati of all of words, who has mastery over learning. So he is Devanam Guruhu. అండ్ సేనానీనాం అహం స్కందః. దట్స్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వన్. అమంగ్ ద కమాండర్స్ ఇన్ చీఫ్ సేనాని, ది లీడర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆర్మీ, సేనా మీన్స్ ఆర్మీ, నీ మీన్స్ లీడర్, అండ్ సేనాహ నయతి ఇతి సేనాని. అమంగ్ ద లీడర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆర్మీ, దీస్ ఆర్ ద లీడర్స్ హూ లీడ్ ది ఆర్మీ. అమంగ్ ద లీడర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఆర్మీ ఐఎమ్ స్కందః. స్కందః మీన్స్ సుబ్రహ్మణ్య. హూ ఇస్ దేవసేనాపతి, ఈస్ దేవసేనాపతి. రిమెంబర్ దేవసేన ఇస్ అ ఉమన్ హూస్ హస్బెండ్ ఇస్ సుబ్రహ్మణ్య. ఇట్ ఈస్ నథింగ్ బట్ అ పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆర్మీ ఆఫ్ దేవాస్. దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్. జస్ట్ యాజ్ వెన్ వీ సే బ్రహ్మాజీ, బ్రహ్మాజీ ఈస్ ది హస్బెండ్ ఆఫ్ సరస్వతి ఆల్సో, షీ ఈస్ ది పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ విజ్డమ్. సో విద్య, వాణి, ఆల్ దీస్ ఆర్ నేమ్స్ టు సరస్వతి ఓన్లీ. సో లక్ష్మి ఈస్ పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ వెల్త్. సిమిలర్లీ దేవసేన ఈస్ ద పర్సానిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆర్మీ ఆఫ్ దేవాస్. How can an army be personified as a woman? That could be a question for some people. And here, two reasons are addressed here. One, in Sanskrit, sena is strilinga, is feminine. So, in Sanskrit, every word has a gender. And the gender is irrespective of the meaning. So, if you say nadi, nadi is strilinga, even though it is inanimate. Nadi is river, is inanimate, it is still Srilinga. Sometimes the meaning may be masculine, but the word can be feminine. So Devasena is Srilinga and so is personified as a woman. The second reason is the army can be personified as a woman because army stands for what? Power, Shakti. And so Devasena is personified as a woman, Shakti. And for that heavenly army, Skandaha. Skandaha is the leader, the greatest commander. And then Sarasam Asmi Sagaraha. Sarasam Asmi Sagaraha. Any reservoir or storehouse of water, from the smallest pond to the biggest ocean, are all generally called Saras. Saras means a lake, a pond, a sea, all of them. And among all these reservoirs of water, I am Sagaraha. Sagaraha means the ocean. It is the most sacred also because all the sacred rivers also ultimately merge into the ocean. So it is very sacred. And that is why often Samudra Snanam is supposed to be very sacred. Because all the holy rivers come and merge in the Samudram. So Samudra Snanam is considered very sacred. So Sagara is spiritually most sacred and also very big in magnitude among all the Saras. So, both from the material and the spiritual angle, Sagaram is superior. And I am the Sagara among all Saras. Shloka 25. Maharshinam Bhruguraham Giram Giramasmekam Aksharam Yajnanam Japa Yajnosmi Stavaranam Himalayaham. Maharshinam Aham Bhruguhu. Among the great rishis, maharshis, saptarishayaha, I am Bhrigu Maharshi. Bhrigu, who has tested even all the three trinities. The Bhrigu is such a maharishi who tested even the three trinities, Shiva, Vishnu and Brahmaji. He wanted to find out who is the greatest among the three. These are all just stories. You have done Puranic stories only. We don't think that Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva are all different and all that. We are not talking about Veda here, but there's a story. It seems Bhrigu, he made each Brahma, Shiva and all these people angry. He went to Vishnu and tried to make him angry also. But Vishnu never got angry. And at last, he kicked on the chest of Vishnu. To make him angry, he kicked on the chest of Vishnu and Vishnu got up. And he thought Vishnu is going to get angry. Vishnu caught hold of Bhrigu's feet. Is there any pain to your feet? He asked. You kicked on my chest. Because of that, is your feet paining? He asked. Then he gave a certificate to Vishnu. You are the one who never got angry. So Bhrigu Maharshi is very well known for even testing the trinities. And like that, many glories are described in the Puranas. And so the Lord says, I am Bhrigu among Maharishis. Then Giram Ekam Aksharam Aham. Gihi means any word or padam is called Gihi. And among the padams, I am ekam aksharam. That means what? Ekam aksharam padam. I am the one-lettered word among many words, which is known as Om, the pranava. And the glory of Omkara, we have seen in different contexts earlier also. And one glory is, the word also is ekam. The word also is one, with one letter. And the Lord also is ekaha, advaitam. So Lord also is one, letter also is one. So Om is ekam, Lord also is ekam. Om is aksharam. It's a letter. Aksharam means letter. And Lord also is aksharam, one who never perishes, one who has no decay, aksharam. So the Omkara has three aspects, akara, ukara, and makara. And Lord also has got this thula prapancha, sukshma prapancha, and karana prapancha. He also has three aspects. And behind the Omkara, there is the invisible silence. Om is visible, audible, recognizable. But behind this, there is the silence which cannot be heard or seen. In the same way, behind the sthula sukshma karana prapancha is the invisible ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, agandam, arasam. The invisible nirguna brahman is there behind the sthula sukshma karana prapancha. So Omkara, through the sound, expresses the saguna ishvara. And through its silence, represents the Nirguna Ishvara. So, Omkara is supposed to be the most ideal name for the Lord, Nama for the Lord. So, Omkara Upasana is very elaborately discussed in all Shastras. Also, Omkara is used as a symbol in two ways. Again, the utterance of Omkara, the sound, that can be taken as a symbol. Or by writing the Omkara, the form also can be taken as a symbol. Whether you write it in Sanskrit or any language, doesn't matter. So therefore, Giram, and this Omkara is supposed to be discovered by Brahmaji. He is the one who uttered Om Atha when he started Srishti. So if you remember Sikshavalli, I don't know whomsoever had heard, had the opportunity to listen to that. Yes, Chanda Samrishabho Vishwarupaha. Chando Bhyodhyamrita Atsam Babuva. Brahmaji churned the Vedas. He took a big churner to churn the Vedas. Then he got Gayatri, the Vyahritis, Buhu, Bhuvaha, Subaha, and the Omkara out of it. So Gayatri Mantra he got, the Vyahritis he got, and also Omkara Pranava. So endless glories are described for Pranava or Omkara. Then yajnanam japa yajnosmi. Among the yajnas, various yajnas, I am the japa yajna, the japa type of worship. Because it is easy, does not involve so many physical efforts. You don't need any of them. Whereas japa does not require any such effort at all, because all other yajnas, they all require a lot of efforts. You need material, you need place, you need so many things. Not only that, the japa, when it is used as at oral level, it becomes vachikam karma. It is a japa, vachikam karma at the oral level. When the very same japa is done mentally, then it becomes upasana or meditation. So japa itself can be converted to meditation by just chanting it mentally. So if a person does not know any type of meditation at all, and if he can practice this simple meditation, take for example any Nama, Rama, Krishna, whatever it is, and chant a few times orally, he can get it into the groove of it. Having chanted a few times orally, he can gradually withdraw the sound and start to recite it mentally only. So, Uccha Japa, Manda Japa, and gradually he can go to Manasa Japa, which is as good as Dhyanam. Uccha Japa is loud. Manda japa is maybe like upamsha japa. The lips may be moving. Sound may not come. Not only that, japa does not involve pashu himsa. Because all other yajnas, they have this pashu himsa because that is the sacrifice. They cut creepers, soma juice to make that. They have to cut the creepers. So in bigger yajnas, they have to do several other things. And if it is a manasa japa, I don't even disturb my neighbor. I am sitting wherever I am. I am not even making any sound. I am just only doing meditation. Even Parayanam can be done mentally. If a person knows the text very well, can be done mentally. And some people think that louder the japa, more is the palam. There are all misconceptions because they put more effort. To say it loud, they have to put more effort. So they think more palam will be there. No, it is the other way around. Manasa japa has the highest benefit. So the Lord says, Yajnanam japa yajnosmi. Then sthavaranam himalayaha. Among the mountains, I am the Himalaya. Actually, we have seen earlier in the last webinar, the word sthavara means what? That which does not move, stationary thing. And when we talk about living things, living beings, it includes only plants and trees. Mountains, etc., they should not be included in that list. But if we talk in general of sthavara, in the whole creation, it includes mountains also. And so we have to see the context and take the meaning than just the actual dictionary meaning. So here sthavara means all stationary things and beings. I am Himalaya, the abode of snow. And Hima means snow. Hima is snow. Alaya means abode. Because most of the peaks in the Himalayas are beyond 15,000 feet only. Snow will be there throughout the year in all those peaks. And incidentally, we have seen a similar idea before also. Meruhu Shikarinam Aham. That's what he said earlier. Among the peaked mountains, Shikarinam, I am Himalayas. And some people say the Meru does not mean Himalayas, but it is a mythological mountain, they say. These are all various Puranic these things. According to the Puranas, Meru is the central peak around which the sun is supposed to travel. And the description of the Meru, when we see in the Puranas, it seems to be different from the Himalayas. And here among sthavaras, I am the Himalayas. That's what the meaning is. Shloka 26. Ashvattaha sarva vrikshanam devarshinam cha naradaha gandharvanam chitraratha siddhanam kapilo munihi. Sarva vrikshanam ashvattaha. Among all trees, vrikshas, I am the ashvatta tree, arasamaram. Ashvatha tree, Mulato Brahma Rupaya, Madhyato Vishnu Rupine, Agrataha Shiva Rupaya, Vriksha Rajaya Te Namaha. This Ashvatha Vriksha is considered to be Vriksha Raja, the king of all Vrikshas, all trees, and for that is glorified. At the root is Brahma, the root of that is Brahma, Vishnu in the middle, Madhyato Vishnu Rupine, and in the top is Shiva. Rupine Agrataha Shiva Rupaya. And so you are the greatest among all the Vrikshas, Ashvatha Vriksha. So worshipping the Ashvatha is as good as worshipping the Trinities, Shiva, Vishnu and Brahma. So Ashvatha is considered superior and very sacred. But one has to be very careful. We have not come to the 15th chapter yet, where it is said, Urdhvamulam Adashakam Ashvattam Prahurabhyayam. There the Ashvatha tree is used as a samsara tree. So let us not confuse that Ashvatha tree, and here we have not come to 15th chapter yet. So there Ashvatha tree is a symbol of bondage, samsara. Here it is taken as a symbol of the Lord. And Devarshinam cha Narataha. Aham, I am the among the heavenly sages. I am Narada, who is known for his knowledge, bhakti, service. That is Narada. So even though he seemingly creates some kalaham, normally they say he creates some fight among people, kalaham, ultimately he teaches lessons through that. They say, Naram Dhyati Iti Naradaha. So the one, so Narasambandhi Naram. So Ajnana, which is in every Naraha, every human person Naraha has Ajnana, ignorance. So what is commonly there in all humans? Ajnana. And Dhyati means Kandhayati, Nashayati, that is Iti Naradaha, the one that destroys, the one who destroys Ajnanam. So he is called Naradaha, he is a great Jnani. So the Lord says, Devarshinam cha Naradaha. And then Gandharvanam Chitrarataha. Among Gandharvas, I am Chitraratha, the king of the Gandharvas. Among Gandharvas, I am Chitraratha. Gandharvas, they are semi-divinities, like Yakshas, the Kinnaras, all these people, they are all semi-divine. And the king of Gandharvas is this Chitrarath. So these semi-divines, who go there because of their superior karma. A person, when they do superior karma, they take birth as a Gandharva or a Yaksha, Kinnara and all that thing. And there also, they have Manushya Gandharva, Deva Gandharva, all those things are also there. So Gandharva represents all artistic talents, aesthetics, fine arts, all these things are all represented by Gandharvas. Then Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi, among the Jnanis from birth. So Janmana Eva Siddhaha, by birth itself, they are all great Jnanis. So I am Kapila Muni. Among these Jnanis, I am Kapila Muni. Of course, Kapila Muni is supposed to be an avatar of Lord Vishnu only. Kapila Vasudeva, born to Devahuti. There is that separate story on that. Literally, Kapilaha means the golden colored Rishi, the one who is golden colored, who has a very shiny body. And again, Bhagavatam talks about the Kapila Muni very, very elaborately. And Kapila's Upadesha teaching to his own mother Devahuti is a very, very famous section in Bhagavatam. Highly Vedantic, it's a very highly Vedantic teaching he gives. In fact, the very avataram of Kapila is to propagate Vedanta only. So that is how Kapila Muni is there. And of course, there is another Kapila also who is supposed to be the propounder of Sankhya philosophy. So Kapila Vasudeva is the one who teaches Vedanta to Devahuti, his mother, in Bhagavatam. And there is also another Kapila Muni who is supposed to be the propounder of Sankhya philosophy. And that is often the controversy whether it is that or that Kapila or this Kapila. Or are they different or are they same? But it seems to be different because in Bhagavatam, the Sankhya taught by Kapila happens identical with Vedanta. So that is how. Whereas in the Sankhya philosophy available outside as Sankhya Sutras, etc., that is very different from Vedanta. So that is the difference. So the main difference being, in the other Sankhya philosophy, the world is considered real. Whereas in the Sankhya philosophy taught in Bhagavatam, the world is considered mithya, which is in accordance with Vedanta. So these are all incidental points we have to note. And here our discussion is very different. So we don't have to get into the other discussion. But so this is the thing. So Janmana Siddhanam, among the people who are Siddhas by birth. So that's what Siddhanam means. Janmana Siddhanam, I am Kapila Munihi. And many Siddhas have been described. Iti, you know, Trishankor, Vedanu, Vashanam, we have got, this also in Taittiriya Upanishad only. Then Vamadeva, etc., they are all supposed to be Siddhas by birth itself. So Vamadeva is supposed to have declared his wisdom even while remaining in the womb of the mother. Aham Brahmasmi in Prashnopanishad. He has described this. So they all come under the Siddha group. Siddhas are those who are Jnanis by birth itself. That means they don't need a guru to learn Vedanta. They are Jnani themselves. They are all extraordinary births because of the grace of the Lord. Okay. And the word Siddha is used because of the, is in another meaning also, which we should not use it here. Siddha means one who has got Siddhi, various miraculous powers. And there are some people, Janmana Siddhaha, who have Siddhis right from birth they have got. Some people who get Siddhi through mani, mantra, aushadha, special jewels, dhyana, oshadhi, all these things, there are Siddhas available. So those Siddhis have nothing to do with spirituality. They all come under materialistic pursuit only. All these Siddha Purusha, they all come under materialistic pursuit only, not Vedanta. Here Siddha means Jnaninaha. So Siddha refers to Jnanis. Shloka 27. Uchai Shravasamashvanam Viddhi mamamrutodbhavam airavatam gajendranam naranancha naradhipam. Ashwanam mam uchaishravasam viddhi. Among the horses, Ashwana, you know me to be uchaishravas, the name of the horse. Uchaishravas, why it is so superior? So amrutodbhavam, it is born out of ocean. of churning the ocean, Amrita Matanam. So when it was churned for Amritam, Uchchaishravas came. So Amrita Matana Udbhavam Ityartaha. So the story during the Amrita Matanam, so many wonderful things came. Great jewels came. Uchchaishravas came. Kaustubha Mani came. Mahalakshmi came. Airavadam came. And also the terrible things like the Halakala Visham, the poison that came. The idea is, before attaining the Amritam, the immortality, a person should be able to reject both good and bad. All these Uchchaishravas, Mahalakshmi and all, they represent good. Halakala Visham refers to bad. So one should be able to get rid of all punyas, papas, good and bad and everything before one would get Amritam, immortality, moksha. So punya pape viduya niranjanaha paramam samyam upaiti. One should not be afraid of papam, nor infatuated by punyam. No. So ratnair mahem mahabehem tutushurna devaha nabajire bhima visheena bhiti sudam vinana prayuviramam na nishichatarthat viramanti dhiraha. There is a shloka like that. Mahabehe ratnaihi devaha na tutushuho. Devas were not happy with the gems and other beautiful things, rejected them all as anityam. And then, na bhajire bhima visheena bhitim, because of the terrible poison, they were not frightened also. That came out of churning the ocean, the poison, they were not frightened by that also. Sudham vina na prayuyur viramam, without getting the amritam, sudham vina. Without getting the amritam, they never turned their back because of what? Na nishitata arthat viramanti dhiraha. The dhiras, the very real valiant people, will not get away from what they have decided to achieve. Devas wanted to get amritam. Till they get it, they are not going to give up. Whether it is going to be visham or whether it is going to be this or that, they are not going to be frightened. So these are all symbolized in the form of various good things, Uchchaishravas, etc. All those things came. The best among the horses is supposed to be Uchchaishravas, as the word itself shows, Uchchaihi Shravaha Kirtihi. Yes, yeah. The one whose fame is very high, Uchchaihi Shravaha. Among the horses, I am such most powerful horse, Uchchaishravas. Then Airavatam Gajendranam. Among the great elephants, the word Indra, Gajendra, the word Indra suffix, when added to another word, it means great. So, Gaja Indraha, greatest among elephants. Mruga Indraha, Mrugendra, greatest among animals. Devendraha, the greatest among the Devas. And Gajendraha means greatest among the elephants. Among them, I am Airavatam, the Vahana of Indra. The white elephant is supposed to have four tusks. Then, Naranancha Naradipam. Among humans, Naranam, I am the Nara Adipaha, the king. Naranam Adipaha Narapatihi, the ruler, protector, among the Naras. Narendra, the king is considered as God himself in our mythology. And then Shloka 28, Ayudhanam Aham Vajram, Denu Namasmi Kamaduke. Prajanaschasmi kantarbaha sarpanam asmi vasukihi ayudhanam aham vajram asmi. Among the weapons, among the vajra, I am the vajrayuda, the thunderbolt weapon wielded by Indra. Actually, we may know the story perhaps. It was made out of the bones of Datichi Rishi, the Rishi called Datichi Rishi, specially for killing Vrittasura. To kill Vritrasura, such a weapon was made. And so not only it has the material, it is supposed to contain the spiritual power of the Rishi also. So it is praised very much. Mahatbhayam Vajramudyatam. Mahatbhayam it will create. Even in the Vedas, the word Vajrayuda is mentioned. Supposed to be the weapon of Indra, the Lord of Gods. So Vajrahastaha Purandaraha. So he is that Lord. Then Denunam Kamaduka Asmi. Among the cows, the milk-yielding cows, Dhenuhu. Among the milk-yielding cows, I am Kamadhenu. This also, came during the Amritamathanam. When they did the Amritamathanam, this Kamadhenu also came. Kamadukha. Kamam, Kamam, Dogdi, Iti Kamadukha. That which yields whatever a person desires. Instead of milk, if you directly want coffee itself, it will give. You have to only wish, and milk will, it will give, all the desires will be fructified. So Kamadhenu, Parijata, Chintamani, they are all celestial occurrences. They don't exist in the world, in the world that we know. They occur in the Devalokas. So the real Kamadhenu is our willpower alone, actually. To be honest, Kamadhenu is our willpower, our Sankalpa Shakti, with which we can get Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So our own willpower only is Kamadhenu. In fact, every wonderful discovery that we have, like the plane with which we can go to so many places. These days we can fly to India in 12 hours and 13 hours, it looks. Well, even to the moon people can fly. All these are what? They are all product of the human buddhi, intellect, which is the real Kamadhenu. Then Prajanas Chaspi Kantarpaha. I am the Kantarpaha Manmata. Manmata is Kama. Kama, the Lord of Love. Kam Kam Na Garpayati Iti Kantarpaha. The one who maddens, who confuses people, everyone. Because Kama is the greatest weakness in all people. So anyone, this he can control. Kama can control anyone. And which is the cause of Prajanaha, any creation. Prajanaha refers to creation, any production. So the desire for production is called Prajanaha Kandarpaha. Whether it is production of one's own species, that is also born out of Kama, even the production of anything is also because of desire alone. So I am Kandarpaha, the productive passion, productive desire I am. Then Sarpanam Asmi Vasukihi. Among the Sarpas, the poisonous snakes, literally, grammatically speaking, any reptile can be called a sarpa. Srupati, that which moves like a reptile, is a sarpa. But generally, we use it for the snake. So, among the sarpas, among the snakes, I am Vasuki, the most poisonous snake, which is supposed to be adoring the neck of Lord Shiva. That is also symbolic. Snake is often compared as to the ahankara, the ego, which is full of poison, which can kill. Snake kills and ahankara makes you mortal. Once you conquer ahankara, then a person becomes immortal. He becomes Jivan Muktaha. Not only that, it is not necessary to destroy Vasuki. Once the Vasuki is controlled, the same poisonous snake becomes what? Avaranam, becomes an ornament. Once the snake is controlled, the same poisonous snake becomes even an ornament. Uncontrolled snake is a threat, but controlled ahankara is an abharana, is an ornament. Every jnani has got ahankara, but it is what? It is badhitam, controlled. And so it becomes a blessing for everyone. A jnani's ahankara becomes a blessing for everyone. So I am that Vasuki. It is the one that was used for Amrita Mathanam also. They used only Vasuki to churn. Sloka 29. Anantaschasmi Naganam Varuno Yada Samaham Pitruna Maryama Chasmi Yamasam Yamatamaham Nagana Madhye Aham Anantaha Asmi. Among the non-poisonous snakes, I am Anantaha Adiseshaha. Some people interpret actually in a different way also. In the previous shloka, Sarpa was taken as a one-hooded snake. In this shloka, Naga is taken as a many-hooded snake. Of course, it is all mythological. You have to understand that. We don't see any snake with more than one head, one hood these days. Some people said near Bangalore or somewhere they sighted a two-headed snake and all that. You know, I don't know all that. So among such Nagas, I am Anantaha, which is supposed to have 1,000 heads. So there are two different meanings. Sarpa is poisonous snake and one-hooded snake. Naga is non-poisonous snake and many-hooded snake. And Anantaha is supposed to be Talpa. Talpa means the bed of Vishnu. Then Varunaha Yadasam Aham. Yadas means the deities of waters. Many deities are there in the waters because we have many types of waters also, sources like well, lake, rivers, seas, all are sources of water. For all of them, we have different deities. For example, for a Nadi, we have a Nadi Devata. For Saras, Saras Devatas. And so it is plural in number. So Yadasam, that's why I put plural. I am Varunaha, who is the deity of Samudra, the ocean. Other deities, they preside over only small sources of water, whereas Varuna presides over the total ocean. Then Pitrunam, among the mains or the forefathers, the ancestors, I am Aryama, the leader of all the Pitrus. Whenever Pitru Puja is done, Aryama is worshipped. Then Samyamatham, Aham Yamaha Asmi, the one who controls, Samyamatham, the one who controls the disciplines. Among the controllers, the restrainers, the subduers, I am Yamaha, the time principle. Because even the most arrogant, turbulent fellow will become mild as he grows older. Time will heal all issues. So the Lord uses the ordinary tactics. Don't be arrogant. Makuru dana jana yavana garvam. Don't have garva ahankara. Because you got dhanam, you got people, you are youth. Makuru dhana jana yavana garvam. Because why? Harati nimeshat kalam sarvam. Either the karma will do that. If you don't restrain by your own wisdom, then Yamadharma Raja, he knows how to hammer you down. If all these things do not work, then the old age is there. Old age, what will, where is garvam there? Where you will, your power, strength, etc. are all done. They are taken away. And this person becomes completely under the control of Kala, the time principle, Yama. So among the controllers, I am Yamaha. Some people don't subdue even in old age. And Yama plucks them from the world, which is the end of their ruling. So even if some people, even their arrogance, ego doesn't go even after when they are 85, 90. So Yamadharma Raja, he takes them away and removes their ruling. So I am the most powerful Kalaha. In front of me, no one can fight. Even the greatest Rakshasas like Ravana, Kamsa, all these people, they all have become mere names only in my friend. Therefore, Maya Madamidam Akilam Budhva Brahma Padam Tvam Pravisha Viditva. Sankaracharya says, Yamaha, Yam means to control. Yam Niyachati, to control. From that only Yamaha, Niyamaha, etc. All those words have come. So Yamaha, self-control, also is Yamaha. So when a person practices certain restraints for himself, certain conditions for himself, they are all called Yamaha. Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, Aparigraha, all these things are considered Yamas. The only difference is what? In the Yama Sadhana, I control it myself. And if I don't learn to control myself, the Lord sends Yama to control. So if I use Yama as a sadhana, I control all these. If I don't do that, the Lord sends Yama to control that. Yama Dharma Raja. Shloka 30.
Prahladaschasmi daityanam kalaha kalayatamaham mrigaanancha mrigendroham vainateyascha pakshinam.
Now daityanam means among asuras, among daityas, the demons. Why they are so called? Because they are all ditiputraha. Daityas are ditiputraha and devas are adityaha, because they are all born to Aditi, Aditi Putraha. So Aditi and Diti. And both of them have the common father, Kashyapa Prajapati. So the Daityas and the Devas, they both have got the same, the father, Kashyapa Prajapati, who had two wives, Diti and Aditi. So they are brothers only. So Bharatrus, both the Daityas and the Devas are only brothers. It is like the same person having two types of thoughts. When you talk about Daityas, the Asuras and the Devas, it is only the same person who have different types of thoughts, two types of thoughts. As Krishna will say in the 16th chapter, when Daivi Sampat is there, we are all Devas. When the thoughts are all noble, then we are, that's called Daivi Sampat, good vrittis, we are called Devatas. When Asuri Sampat comes, we are all Asuras. The same person, we have both Asurik and Daivik tendencies. When we have behave like Devas, Daivi Sampat. Behave like Asuras, when the thoughts are there. So, how is Daivi Sampat born? From the wife called, so Sadguna Mati. So, Sattvaguna Mati, from her, this good noble souls are born. And Asuri Sampat is born when the mind is Rajasic or Tamasic. So, when it is Sattvic, mind is Sattvic, the Devas are born. Devi Sampat is born. When that is Rajasic or Asurik, the Asuri Sampat is born. There are two types of mind producing different thoughts only. So, Suddha Sattvam and Malina Sattvam. We have seen this in Tattva Bodha. Suddha Sattvam and Malina Sattvam. And among Daityas, I am whom? I am Prahlada, who was born as an Asura, son of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is a Rakshasa, is a demon. But he was a great Bhakta, who Prahlada, even though he was born to Hiranyakashipu, he was a great Bhakta. And so, among the list of Bhaktas also, the first name we enumerate is Prahlada only. Prahlada, Narada, Parashara, Pundarika, Vyasa, Ambarisha, Sukha, Shaunaka, Bhishmadi, Rukmangada, Arjuna, Vasishta, Vibhishanadi, Punyanam, Paramabhagavatan, Smarami. All these Paramabhagavatan, Smarami. All these Paramabhagavatas. And in that list, the first is Prahlada. We are supposed to remember all of them. And Prahlada is first among all the Bhaktas. And the beauty is, he is born to a demon. And he is born as a demon and disobeyed his father. Father was a Rakshasa. He disobeyed his own father. Still, he is the greatest Bhakta. What was the destination? That is the most important. That was Moksha. That is Bhagavan, the Lord only ultimately. And so, Prahlada chasmi daityana. Prahlada means the pleasing one. Prahlada means pleasing one. Klad means to please. Then, the kalaha kalayatamaham. Among the ones who keep the account. Kalayati means maintaining the account. Who maintains the account. The one who computes, the computer, reckoner. Such a person. All accountants, they all can commit mistake. There is one accountant who never commits any mistakes at all, and he is Kalaha. All other accountants can make mistakes, but not this Kala. When a person is to be born at the right time, according to Prarabdha Karma, and when he has to go also, he is exactly removed, regardless of status, position, wealth, nothing. If a person has to go, he just goes, that's all. There is no computer mistake taking place at all, no human error, no computer error. So, the Lord says, I am the time principle which keeps account of everything. All Punya Papas. So, we cannot try to bribe Chitragupta. You can bribe other local Chitraguptas, but not the Chitragupta. Then, Mrigana Ancha, Mrigendroham. Among the animals, Mrigas. In Sanskrit, the word Mriga has two meanings. One, it means any animal generally. Or it also means a deer. That also is called Mriga. Here, we should take all animals. So, among all animals, I am Mrigendra, the king of animals, the lion. And Vainateyascha Pakshinam, among the birds, Paksha. Paksha means wing. So, Pakshi means a winged one. A winged one is a bird. So, Vainateyaha, I am Garudaha. It's called Vainateyaha because Vinatayaha Apadyam Puman, the son of Vinata. So, because he is the son of Vinata, he is called Vainateyaha. So, I am having the Garuda. And Shloka 31. Pavana Pavatamasmi Rama Shastra Brutamaham Jashana Amakaras Chasmi Shrota Samasmi Janavi. So Pavatam, among the purifiers. Purifiers, that which Punati, Pavayati. I am Pavanaha. Here it is the wind god. Sometimes it is also used for Agni also. So, Jalam also is purifier, Agni also is purifier. And here it is, wind god. He has claimed Agni already. So, Vasunam Pavakas Chasmi, he has already told, Agni. So, here it is, Vayuho. Then, Shastrabhritam Aham Ramaha. Among the wielders of weapons, Shastrabhritam. Shastra means weapon. Brit means the one who wields. Among them, I am Ramaha, the Kodanda Ramaha. One who has got the most powerful Kodanda, whose glory is described throughout the Ramayana. So Karadushanas, etc., all those demons, the 14,000 people are there. All of them he destroyed in one muhurta. That is the power of Rama. People say it has got a bell or something in the bow. When so many thousands are killed, it will ring a bell to keep an account. Okay, so many thousands are gone, ring once. So during Ramayana war, the bell was constantly ringing, it seems. Because so many thousands were killed, getting killed every minute. And Rama is the wielder of such a weapon. Then Jashana Makarashchasmi, Jashaha. Jashaha means any aquatic creature in the waters. Among them, I am Makaraha. It's a very big animal. What exactly it is, people have different opinions. Some say it's a whale. Some people say it's a shark. Some people say it's a crocodile. It's the biggest fish. So blue whale is supposed to be the biggest. So 350 tons or so is the weight and can accommodate several elephants. Very long also. So the best translation is Makara itself. So we can as well leave it as Makara. Then Srotasam Asmi Jahnavi. Among the rivers, Shrotas means that which flows down is called Shrotas. So, Sush, Shravati, to flow. Among the flowing rivers or streams, I am Jahnavi, the Ganga. It seems in Akbar's court, Akbar has to prove what is the holy river and it should not be said as Ganges also. That was the question. He asked the question, what is the holiest of rivers? And he said, nobody should say it is Ganges. That should not be the answer. Then Birbal said, it seems the greatest river is Yamuna. It seems he said. Then people wondered how Birbal could justify this. He already told this to the king. He has to justify. Then Birbal said, who said Ganga is a river? River is a place where water flows. Ganga is a source of Amritam. It is Amritam flowing. It is not water flowing. How can you compare Ganga with a river? So it cannot be put in the list of rivers at all. So Ganges water is looked as Amritam itself, coming from Vishnupada or Shiva's head, whichever way one wants to take it. And not only that, it symbolizes the flow of Brahma Vidya also, the knowledge. So Sadashiva Samarambam, Shankaracharya Madhyamam, etc. It has started from Sadashiva or Narayanam, Padma Bhumam, Vasishtam, whichever way it is, doesn't matter. So it is an ever-flowing river. This knowledge is an ever-flowing river and every ghat in the river is a guru. If you go to Kashi, there are so many ghats. Dashashvamedha ghat, Hanuman ghat, so many ghats are there. Each one is supposed to be, is a guru. So guru is often compared to a ghat. You know why? Even though the river flows all over, one cannot approach any part of the river. Sometimes there can be a deep ditch. Sometimes there could be wild animals. There could be slush. One can be drowned in all these places. So if someone wants to take a river bath, one can go through some stipulated places only. Similarly, Brahma Vidya is there, but one cannot approach it in any way as one likes. Otherwise, it will lead to only confusion. Buddhi Beda alone will come. There are a lot of people who want to talk about Dharma. Instead, they are creating only Buddhi Beda. Na Buddhi Bedam Janayet, that is what Krishna said. By telling wrong information, you are creating Buddhi Beda. One has to be extremely careful, especially the teachers. So, Brahma Vidya can bless one if one approaches through a guru. It's a guru ghat here. And so, Ganges is the Brahma Vidya Pravaha. Ganges is also Anadi. Brahma Vidya also is Anadi. Beginning cannot be traced for both. Even if you go to Gomukh, still you cannot find, because there is an opening, Gomukh. That is why it is called Gomukh, the mouth of a cow. But inside from which the water gushes, from where inside, because nobody knows. Similarly, where is the source of Brahma Vidya? Even the greatest rishis, they say that Brahma Vidya is not their discovery. They got from their teacher, going endlessly in a Guru Parampara. So Brahma Vidya and Ganga can be ideally compared. So the Lord says, I am the Ganges among the rivers. It is called the Jahnavi because it went to the kingdom of Janu. He got wild because his Yagashalas were all flooded when it came from heavens and brought by Bhagiratha. Bhagiratha brought Ganges. So he destroyed all his places, Yagashalas. So he drank up the whole ocean. He just drank it up. Then Bhagiratha prayed to him. then Jahnu, he gave out through his ears some portion of Ganges, and so it is called Jahnavi. Similarly, Brahma Vidya also is what? Not only you should hear it, you should also give it out. It is not something that should be kept with oneself. Of course, not through the ears you can give it out. So, Swadhyaya is must be followed, and Pravachana also should be followed. One has to try to learn, practice oneself, and also should be able to distribute the jnanam to other people. So, if a person is not distributing the jnanam, then that person is called jnana kalan. The scriptures condemn such people. Sloka 32. Sargana amadirantascha madhyam chaivaham arjunam adhyatma vidya vidyanam vada pravadatamaham. Then sargana. Sargana means among the creation. Sarga means srishti. Among the creations, I am what? Adihi madhyam antascha. I am the beginning, middle and the end. This can be taken as space-wise and also time-wise. Then, vidyanam aham adhyatma vidya. Among the various branches of knowledge, shastranam, among all the shastras, all the sciences, I am adhyatma vidya, the spiritual science, the shastram dealing with atma. Atmanam adhikrita adhikritya pravrittim iti adhyatma. Atmanam adhikritya pravrittim pravrittam iti adhyatma. So, where all other branches of science, they deal with anatma. They all deal with anatma only, mathematics, physics, chemistry, whatever they all. Even in the Vedas, when it deals with rituals, it is also what? It is anatma only. It deals with 14 lokas, various siddhis, either it belongs to pranayama or manomaya kosha, whatever may be the thing. They talk about miracles. They are all connected with the spiritual person. Spirituality and miracles have no connection at all, because miracles also come under aparavidya only, not paravidya. That is why we see most of our rakshasas, they had miraculous powers. You know, Maricha, they are Hiranyakashipu, they all had miraculous, Indrajit, they all had miraculous powers. So Swamiji says, anyone can do miracles if only he works for it. Similarly, Upasana also comes under Anatma Vidya only. It may be preparation for Atma Vidya, but it is called still Anatma Vidya only. So even when you worship God, and when you are looking at the form of the Lord, that Saguna Ishvara also comes under Anatma Vidya only. Because guna means it is not atma, because it is nirguna. Atma is nirguna. But there are two types of anatma vidya. One is useful anatma vidya, another is useless anatma vidya. Karma yoga, it comes under useful anatma vidya. Upasana also comes under useful anatma vidya. They are all anatma vidya only. One day or the other, a person has to drop them and go to atma vidya. And anatma vidya alone is called in Mundaka Upanishad as Aparavidya. Atmavidya is Paravidya and Anatmavidya is called Aparavidya. Why is Anatmavidya inferior and Atmavidya superior? We can give endless reasons. Two main reasons given are, Anatmavidya deals with Mithya. Atmavidya alone deals with Satyam. That is why Shankaracharya says, Aparavidya hi Avidya. Knowledge, knowing a false thing is as good as not knowing it. Atmavidya alone liberates. That's the second reason. Atmavidya alone liberates. Anatmavidya will never liberate a person. So the Lord says, I am Adhyatmavidya. Then Vadaham Pavatam Vada Pavatamaham Pravatamaham. Among the debaters, I am Vadaha, the logic discussion. For example, regarding pujas and samskaras, everyone can follow his or her own practice. A Dvaitin can follow his practice. A Vaishnava can follow his practice. Their worship, Shaivites can follow their worship. But when knowledge of truth comes, I should not bother about the tradition or anything. Whatever is true must be accepted. That is the nature of knowledge. Whatever is true should be accepted. So I might have a Vaishnava or a Saiva puja, doesn't matter. But I must have this philosophy, which is true philosophy. There is a choice in philosophy, but we have to accept whatever is the fact, whatever is the ultimate truth. That is what they say, yukti yuktam vacho grahyam baladapi sukadapi. Yuktihinam vachastyajyam balatapi sukadapi. There is a shloka like that. Yukti yuktam vacho grahyam. If a statement is a logical statement, we should accept it even if it comes from a baladapi shukadapi. Baladapi means children who don't have any ego. And shukadapi means even if it is a parrot, it is stating the fact, just accept it. So yuktihinam vachastyajyam, an illogical or unfactual, unreasonable statement, it must be given up, whether it comes from a boy or from a Shuka Maharishi himself. Shukadapi, earlier it's a parrot, Shuka Maharishi himself. And so, what is important truth? What is important truth is what? I am ready to shed my ego for the sake of truth. Old ideas, false misconceptions, even in front of a child, lady or anyone for that matter. Such a discussion for arriving the truth is called Tattva Nirnaya Palaha. Tattva Nirnayas, they are all. Vadaha. That is called Vada. And that itself, when it is between a guru and Sishya, we call it Samvadaha. The same Vada discussion, when it happens between a guru and Sishya, it's called Samvadaha. So, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, if you remember the at the end of every chapter, Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, so it's Samvada. So, here Krishna says, among various types of discussion, I am Vadaha. To put it in another way, among various types of discussions, I am the Vadi, the one who discusses constructively. Constructively. So it can refer to Vada or Vadi, argument or the argumentator. It can be anything. So we can stop with this shloka. We will take shloka 33 in the next webinar. Yo Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwara Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.